children of tomorrow. Let their light wash over you. See the night become bright with colors. Feel the pulse of the universe. And give your love to our next artist.
The Day Trippers. And good evening, welcome along to the podcast. It is, of course, the Tuesday Club with the Day Trippers. Tonight on the podcast, we said we'd be live at 8:30. We aren't. It is now 13 minutes to 9 for those in England. However, those who are in Ireland will know that it is actually 8:30 because of Dublin time. So yeah, deal with it. Everyone needs to follow us on Dublin's time. And that's all that matters. Right, tonight on the show, we are going to talk about pre-season and everything that's been going on. I'm joined, of course, by Alison Becker.
Shawnee's better looking than Alison Becker.
Shawnee Lawson to everyone else. You're looking well, Shawnee. Shawnee, how was that hug? If you could look at the camera there, Sean, instead of the television, that'd be handy. That's good. Thanks very much.
I'm not used to the lifestyle.
I know. Beside him, of course, is Ray Brady. You may remember Ray Brady's other evil twin brother. He used to come in. It's like Despicable Me 3. Do you remember when your man, the evil lad, has a big hairy brother? Well, that's Ray Brady. That's torn up for the podcast this year.
What grew? Yeah.
You're not real. You're grill. DJ Mikey straight on. Hi, can you find out off Grizz for an update in Fleck here? Hang on a second, I'll buzz him now on the bat phone. I'll come back to you later. And beside him, of course, is Neil Gray.
How are you,
Zara? Also known as the Dublin Neil Klopp.
Kildare Klopp.
So, lads, are we all feeling in good form this evening?
Super.
That's the main thing.
Just on the Lewis.
We enjoy the Lewis.
It's like a carnival, man.
Wild.
The red line, especially.
Man, oil coat your face up with this kind of
thing. But before we get into the red line, the red Lewis line as opposed to the green Lewis line, let's remember that this podcast, the Tuesday Club, of course, is brought to you in association with Redsbet. And Redsbet is a betting site tailor made for Liverpool supporters. Redsbet aims to share half of the net profits with Liverpool supporters and fan causes, so no matter what, the fan ends up a winner. Check out the odds on redsbet.com or download the Redsbet app and share the glory and gamble responsibly. And we do know that the guys in Redsbet will be having I think there's the fantasy football will be kicking off soon, so if you can, you'll see some specials coming up, and I've done a flashy graphic on screen for anyone who's watching. Shawnee's looking to see what's going on. Shawnee normally watches this at home, but anyway, there it is. But of course, get on with the Redsbet lads, they're selling out. Right, lads, moving on.
You're pretty
Where am I? I'm lost as ever. I didn't see there's the Redsbet thing, lads. Yay. Anyway, now, as I was saying to you, first of all, the highlight of the weekend, Tomorrowland. Ray, who's your favourite act? Mine was Culture. Culture set was just absolutely brilliant, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Alright,
yeah.
Cheers, that's great.
The Avicii
hologram was the best.
Have you seen the documentary about Avicii?
Neil, if you don't talk into that microphone, I will kill you.
I am, it's right there in front of me. What do you want me to do? Shove it up my pipe?
Possibly, we might get more sense out of
that. The Avicii hologram was deadly.
The Avicii hologram? Helicam or Helicam?
The Avicii Helicam, he's just said.
Well, there's Helicams all over the place with these drones these days.
The drones. Ray, you love the drones. Shawnee, talk into the mic. I'm not going to say it again. That's better. You have it right on the money there. So, lads, look, let's move along. The main question on everyone's lips that's sitting there around tonight is Fekir. Where was the nose?
That woman. You went there, I'll coach you up.
Fekir.
That wasn't the Lewis, that was the Fekir klaxon.
Is it, yeah?
Every time.
Every time going on, it appears. Lads, Fekir, tell me about it, right? Do we think this is going to happen? Do we think this is eventually going to happen? Shawnee, I know you're the most positive man outside of Ray, and all the other lads here are really positive, but.
No.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
No?
Not now. I think, like, we obviously. Like Michael Edwards has proved to be like very good at his job.
Yeah.
And we had him in the jersey and all, we all seen the Lee picture.
Right.
But there's, I think there's a correlation with the Chamberlain injury, that where we seen what happened to Chamberlain, we've looked, seen what's wrong with Fekir.
Yeah.
And the club aren't willing to gamble under the circumstances that Aulis wants in order for us to get him. So I don't think, I think it's dead.
You think the deal is dead?
I think the deal is dead.
Ray, you sit there in your Lay 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 t-shirt and...
And boxers.
And boxers, yep.
Mm-hmm.
Is Fekir joining or what?
I'll be honest, I would have said predominantly no, but I still have a feeling that the finance aspect of it, and considering he seemed to be our sort of forced main target, that we really, really wanted him, and surely they knew about existing injuries before they would have went for the player. I'd like to think that there's a little bit of play there for them to sort of renegotiate on finances, whether it be appearance-based, a cheaper insurance policy, blah blah, the likes of that. They're basically going to have to hand out big on the insurance, so some type of middle ground with them and Leon in that regard. I'm 70% now he's not signing, but I still think there might be work going on in the background.
Okay. Nilo,
I'd be very surprised, purely from the way that FSG look at transfers for resale value and for age and all the variables they take into account. But one of, like, if he has ropey knees, I can't see them signing him at all. I just think it's, and then when you hear them saying, "I will give you your money back" and all, it sounds mental. It's not mad. I wouldn't say you can even get holiday insurance and stuff.
We never got around to it last week, but the deal that was being talked about, like, they were looking for a receipt, essentially. They're looking for a warranty. How do you get a warranty on a player? Should have got a warranty on storage, but anyway, we'll get back to that later on.
Jesus, dude, a warranty on storage. Now, look, I think every Liverpool fan wants the deal to happen, because, to be honest with you, like, he's our number one target. Van Dijk dragged out. But to be honest with you, I just love for tomorrow, for the club's mouthpieces, who seemingly know nothing anymore, to come out and just link us with an alternative.
Right, well, exactly.
Like, I'm not mad on the idea of it being Fekir or nobody.
Yeah.
With Alisson, I could see the sense, because there's no point of a skimping and buying a middle tier player again. But, like, we've bought plenty of attacking players and developed them into world-class players and moved them on. And there's loads of those types of players around at the moment like that. There's loads out there.
I think there's players within the squad or within the current club who can fulfil the role of that if the Fekir team doesn't come through. I mean, everybody's forgetting about Lallana because he missed the whole of the season.
Yeah, he's still a really good
footballer. Person in the whole world, nearly. Yeah.
But aside from that...
And then you've young lads coming through as well. I mean, I don't know, Ojo, does he suit that kind of position?
I don't think so.
But it might create an opportunity for someone for lads at the club rather than buying into talent. I mean, the window we've had so far has been amazing.
Mm.
So it would really just be icing on the cake. And I don't think it's essential for the squad. So I can't see them pushing too hard and taking a chance on someone.
Okay. Let me bring it back on one thing, because, and I think it is very relevant to this debate. Klopp recently has been very much in the place of saying, I have my first choice. If I don't get my first choice, I'm not interested in anything else. Right.
Yeah.
Is if this, well, does this not test?
And a caveat to that, though, would that not be in a case of, as in, I can't get him over? You know what I mean? As in, he's still going to be available. I'm not. If I don't get him now, I might in the future. That's why he didn't really have a second choice. Whereas in this instance, this is an injury apparently stopping it. So it's not I can go back to the table and he's more available the next time. It's the same injury that's going to be there. So,
but who in that instance then? Do you think that the recruitment team, which has done so well so far in this summer, is this a case that they believe that Fekir was all right and they don't have... They weren't looking at an alternative because they believed that there wasn't going to be these issues with the medical Fekir. And it's probably now at the point, well, lads, I'm not diving in just to sign somebody for the sake of signing someone.
Yeah.
I'd rather step back, draw a breath and have a look over the next couple of months as to who we have. As it stands, we know Shaqiri can play number 10. We know that Lallana can be pushed into the attacking midfield position. Yeah. We know that Keita can play in that position.
Well, Keita's brings that to the squad, yeah.
But the bit that we probably look a little bit weak on, that Fekir is ideal for, is the front three. People are talking about this. We're talking about cover for the front three. Shaqiri to me was never cover for the front three. He's going into that attacking midfield spot like an Oxlade-Chamberlain. Yeah. If you want to look at how he's played and how he's going to play in that team, that's more
like. If you're saying that that's what Shaqiri is, then surely the writing's on the wall then. The Fekir deal is totally dead because Shaqiri was literally bought to fill that then.
I go the opposite way with it. I see Fekir as being one of those at the front three who's going to score goals and who's going to create.
Shaqiri is more cover for Oxlade-Chamberlain, I would have said.
Yeah, probably, yeah. The thing is with the Shaqiri deal is, I think you can kind of watch that because it's 13 million and I think it's seen as just good
amazing.
Value.
That's a fucking and it's amazing business.
Sure, Klopp said it's a no-brainer himself.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, when you think about it, regardless what you think about him as quality, he's one throw.
No-brainer.
Yeah.
New teeth.
The thing, like Ray said, like the Fekir one, if you don't sign him now, there's no point of us going back. His price isn't going to change. Aulis is trying to kick him out the door. He hasn't stopped talking. If we wanted it done, it'd be done by now.
I think, though, if it is going
to be done. It could drag on, though. You're saying it's going to go to deadline day.
I said
it
that could, when this whole thing broke before the World Cup, I said this would be a deadline day transfer. This is the Lacazette transfer all over again from last season.
That's the same club.
Dragged on, and it was deadline day when Arsenal finally done the deal. And if you look now, all of a sudden, the August the 9th is going to be manic. There's going to be a storm that week. Like, he's trying to hold out for the best price possible for Leon, for the best terms possible for Leon, and he's the type who'll leave it right to the death. But if it's going to be the difference between having an unhappy player at Leon and they can get in a replacement, he'll hold out to the death. Let him go for whatever the deal is on the table. So what did Lacazette go for in the end? For 50 million?
Million.
And there was talk at one stage, it was 80 and 90 million in terms of it was.
When a decision like that is made, right, on a medal, so I sort of asked this before in regards, you know, a throwback to the Remy thing, you know, how we refused him and he was taken on at Chelsea, even though the same complaints. Yeah. Mm. So is this down to our medical team literally saying that it's not... there's a possibility he's going to crock himself again. There's a high percentage chance that he's going to crock himself again with his knee. Or would it be an insurance thing where he couldn't be insured? And I'm sure I don't know the finance deals on insurance, but is that a huge factor in transfers where they say that's going to cost you five times a normal insurance policy on a player because his knee is out of
balance? Liberty did great deals.
Like an outlaying time.
Win insurance.
Yeah, he's
Liberty Insurance for all your insurance needs,
from all
including dodgy knees footballers.
He's only 18 months and there's no claims bonus.
if his knees go, it's only a step back in the no claims bonus. Instead of losing the whole lot,
could be 3 or 4 grand a year.
From what I gathered was, I think the club have reservations about the job that was done on his knee. So apparently there was a botched surgery done on his knee, and when we looked into it,
I gave you that red microphone to imagine it's a pair of ladies' lips, so when you're talking, you're talking.
I don't kiss. straight in, no kissing.
Fantastic. I'll just put it. Stephen O'Connor on YouTube there says, if Fekir is dead in the water, do you think we'll find an alternative, which we're discussing? He said, but he does put a good point that I wanted to move on to next. Is that I'm also all in for getting a centre back, as Clavin isn't good enough and Matip is always injured. Now, I would argue the point on Clavin that he is actually good enough for a fourth choice centre back, for a guy who you're not going to build a defence on but need him to come in for certain games. He's more than capable of doing it.
Right, boy.
We have what's the other lad?
Gomez
as well. Yeah.
Right.
But no, well, I'd say the whole issue with that whole thing is, yeah, we're all looking at that. Clavin's not bad. Matip might do a job. Gomez could do a job. All in the hope that they're partnering VVD. Yeah. And if it works the other way and Van Dijk is the one that's out, then it really fucking fucks things up altogether. Yeah. Then you're talking Lovren and one of the other, or Matip and Clavin. And so that's the issue where you take the main cog out of there and it weakens us tenfold. You know?
Yeah, those kills us.
Jeez, I'm depressed after that.
An injury to Van Dijk could be season then.
No, it isn't.
Look, I know what you're going to say. Matip and Lovren
I'm going to say something else. The signing of Alisson completely changes our defence in the absence of Virgil van Dijk.
Yeah, that's a very good point.
Where we previously had an average goalkeeper between the sticks, and I'm not putting names, we'll get onto that in a while, right? Where we had an average goalkeeper, so that if we had issues with our two centre backs or one centre back that was there, right? Now we have a goalkeeper who makes a difference when you have that gap in your defence. Now you have a fella who saves you, well, we're hoping saves us 12 points as opposed to somebody who's going to give away 6.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the key difference that's here. Mm. So when people are getting worried about Van Dijk getting injured,
people should be worried about saying his name, never mind getting injured.
It's now changed. This has fundamentally changed as to how we would have been able to see things on season on season. So, somebody's out there, Canuck, I don't know what his name is, get Harry Maguire in.
I wouldn't let Harry Maguire stand.
I would rather re-sign Martin Skirtle than sign
Heffalumped. That's a great show.
What's it?
Yari Mina on loan.
Yep, Mina on loan from Barcelona.
That's a great show.
He's
a monster.
Yeah.
All I know is what I seen of him in that game with England, and he looked a beast.
He played in Brazil, and there's a couple of Brazilian lads in the job who were saying like he would be perfect beside Van Dijk. And even if
wasn't
again,
there a bit of rumor, there was a bit of talk
that
about
was
it,
at
wasn't
the start. But I think the thing is that Barca are under pressure, not that they can only have so many South Americans on the team, and they're fucking signing loads of them now. Mm. That's why Coutinho's trying to get in Portuguese citizenship. So he's exempt from the South America. It was looking like Barca were trying to find a home.
So you're saying that potentially Coutinho might be sold by Barcelona?
Could be.
Would you sign Coutinho as a Fekir replacement?
Just give me the money back.
I'm just thinking because we were talking about raising 100 million in sales.
Yeah.
Which just happened to fit nicely, saying that give 100 million there you go.
Yep.
Imagine Barca still.
You kind of forgot a little bit how good he is, and you see him in the World Cup. He's fucking brilliant.
But imagine Barca still always a rake of cash for Coutinho. So if it comes to deadline day, do you ever see when you're trying to rush them deals over, and you have like toys with a club? I'd imagine we can go to Barca saying like, look, listen, there can be a compromise reach with all the money always for Coutinho. Give us a lend, yeah, man, Mina for a year.
I would just say, give us Mina and Ousmane Dembele. Dembele being your
fucking
replacement.
I have a feeling.
Dembele's, I don't know which one you're talking about.
I think
it's not the
it's
one.
Like
that,
Song was
no,
years ago.
It's not the overrated one that Spurs, the people are saying, was the best midfielder in England.
Celtic have them too, haven't they?
Yeah. They all have
which Dembele is this?
No, this is Ousmane Dembele. This is the really good one. This is the French one.
Barely got a look in for France and barely got a look in for Barcelona.
But it's really good. He was brilliant at
Dortmund.
They
signed him for like 120 million or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, never seen him play.
No, what's his name?
Steve Brown said, get Ramos in, the man after me.
Lovren and Matip's record, like I know, whatever you think about them technically, their record was actually half decent when they played a lot of games together last year. And like Phil was saying, we've Alisson in goal now, so it does take massive pressure off the centre backs.
And Fabinho too.
But Matip being injured again just goes to show that we actually can't depend on him being backup or even force choice, because we don't know. We'd imagine when Lovren is fit and he's back, it's going to be him and Van Dijk again. But Lovren has missed games here and there. Matip missed games here and there. Gomez is an awful injury record.
You're going to pick up bookings as well.
Exactly. You know what I mean? So I think the more I look at it, I think centre back would actually be more of a necessity than signing a Fekir type player.
I'm just looking at the names people are saying up there. I have no clue.
Okay, the one. Let's move along because
Atletico was the ideal.
Boateng is pissed.
Obviously,
by the way.
Boateng isn't pissed.
He's finished.
You've just said
he's finished.
You think every player at Bayern Munich is finished?
He is finished. Why are you trying to get him rid of him?
Frank Ribery is 57 years of age, and
he's still playing.
Before you were born,
why are Bayern kicking him out the gate? Bayern don't sell their players willy nilly.
Wonga.
Exactly, because he's done. He's a big talkie.
He's not done.
Since this Boateng chap was in the World Cup, he's fucking brilliant. He was never in the youth.
There's people saying Matt Hummels, and I swear to God, if anybody is
Lovren is better than Hummels,
he's at the same levels. And people go, Hummels has the most amazing ability to have a huge error for him in a big game. And he's
sounds familiar.
Yeah, well, I'm not used to that.
He'll fit right in.
We're only getting about, you know, I'm only talking about the keeper who makes bigger. I forgot. We're not allowed to talk about
who.
Who shall not be named.
No, let's.
I don't want the Iker Casillas knocking on me door later.
Well,
the slapped years out.
But he knows
you've only got
Well, you'd be knocking on his door pretending to be Alison Becker at the same time. How are you? No. How are you?
Becker will be a better keeper.
Well, no, but, anyway, right, going, moving on. Transfers are all the rage. We'd love to know who's coming in, but there is a huge amount of outs. And YNWA Ahmed asks, white t-shirt guy, I'm assuming that's you, Sean.
You're doing nothing.
Who the fuck is Go on, say it, Johnny. Johnny, do it.
You'll do nothing. I didn't pull a big spin on it. You'll do fucking nothing.
Who the fuck is that?
Who the fuck is that guy?
Right, lads, the outs. There has to be many outs because we've got a squad of many players that we don't want.
And
right?
FSG, well, an FSG out needs somewhere to hang that coat.
Isn't that doing the rounds at the minute? That totals up to 100 million.
Who's not for sale than who is.
I think it's great because the yesterday morning a list came out. And it didn't mention Karius, right?
Who put the list out for?
It was put out in the media.
By whom?
By many newspapers.
Is it made up, like?
No, the big Liverpool journals.
Yeah, well, okay. Oh,
no, let me go back, right?
Under possible outs as
who was on the list?
Now, the thing is, right, when the list started yesterday morning, Mignolet was on it, right?
Barca, apparently.
Yeah, and Ings and Ojo and Markovic.
Grujic.
Right, well, Grujic is a loan deal. It's a loan deal. It's agreed if he signs a new contract with us, right? And that was about it, I think, right? By the end of the day, there was another 11 players added to that list, including Karius, right?
John Barnes.
John Barnes was put on the list.
Yeah, Moby.
Moby was back on the list. And the whole lot. However, I think it's clear that Origi is gone. I think Sturridge has saved his bacon.
Yeah.
Because I have to say, and we'll talk about Sturridge when we talk about the Man City match, but he really looks like he has a hunger in him. And if managed right, you potentially can get the right effect and the right need from Daniel Sturridge in the last year of his Liverpool contract.
And he's an American now to save a few quid in the flights when he gets injured.
He can just get fixed
there.
Before
the season. Again, like Florida.
But lads, Origi for 27 million to Valencia. Would that be up there with the best deals we've ever done?
That'd be the best deal we did this window.
What is the best? What would you in the Jordan? Oh, you're getting 15 million for him. That's fucking ridiculous.
Brad Smith. 4 million
hang on,
for your man,
hang on.
Phillips.
Brad Smith, we got 12 million for him or something.
30 odd million for Andy Carroll.
Yeah.
Did we get 30 million?
We nearly broke even on the Andy Carroll deal.
I don't believe you.
And Benteke, we only lost 2 million on the Benteke deal.
Million a goal.
Yeah.
Million.
Yeah. Well,
and if Mignolet, I'll tell you this, if Mignolet goes for 12.5 million, we'll have made a profit on him.
Except now, I've lost years off my life over him, though.
I know, but
we're doing Chelsea. I think we're paying clubs to say that they're paying more for them.
Do you reckon? Yeah,
do you reckon?
Yeah.
Brown envelope like outback.
It's a positive
great shout by Stephen Brown, formerly of the old tactics board.
Mane gone.
Outside of Mane gone. Torres for 50 million to Chelsea.
Yeah, look, and considering
there was a massive emotional attachment to Torres. Still crying,
I think it's all going to come down. I think it's a Ponzi scheme. Michael Ebbs has to set up. It's all going. He's going to do a bunk with a load of money, and then we won't. No contracts or nothing. Alisson will have to go down and go to Everton or something.
Well, we have been decent, haven't we, in the last few years? Getting ridiculous money for players.
Football 365 puts a good shout in. We also made a profit on Saka. We signed him for 18 and sold him for 26 million.
Yeah. Now, Steve, that is a great point, Steve Brown, because there was a lot of emotional involvement with Torres leaving.
Mm.
He was like the great white hope and all at the time. We went
Kevin Stewart
08-09. But the thing is, what people fail to realise is Torres was probably shy for a season and a half before he left.
The only decent game he had
was against Chelsea.
Torres was in bits from
Birmingham away
2010, when he was rushed back through the knee injury, destroyed his knee, and was never had the burst of pace that he had after that point.
Yeah,
I love now him. That's a great one. Stewart for Robertson, the swap deal when we sent Kevin Stewart to Hull and we got Robertson in return.
Outrageous business.
Say we changed our number.
I think you could hear the groans on Twitter when we saying 8 million for this fella off Hull.
What was that?
I'd say we blocked Hull on WhatsApp after that.
Definitely.
If your man rings, tell him I'm not in.
Where's that Liverpool crest gone?
Jorgen, I only wanted a chat.
Who's that on the phone? Hall? Tell him I'm not here. Tell him I'm not here. Shut the fuck up.
Look, the Chiravella, the people are talking about. I don't know. I haven't seen much from Chiravella to say good. I'll tell you one thing. Of these outs, Ings, they're talking about 20 million for Ings. He will do a job for somebody.
Newcastle, Southampton.
Newcastle would be a good show. Southampton would be a good show as well. Burnley. Southampton are crying out for goals.
The thing is, as well,
why do you sign Ings beyond me?
Burnley, like, as well. Burnley are in Europe this year.
Are they?
And they're in the Europa League.
They won't be in Europe after 2019.
Why?
Because they're all getting kicked out of the EU.
No, they're no real breakdown. I think there's going to be a European war.
Is there?
Yeah, because they're going to say, listen, we're just not paying this lot of money. We always say, right, we'll have a good award of them.
No, but they don't need it. They just go, right, you're not getting any imports.
We're
not buying any imports.
Conscription
for us
Irish lads into the British Army.
You're talking to the microphone. Don't come
sorry,
over.
Sorry, Philip.
Right. What's left of it?
Yeah.
After growing
back. It's getting there. It's not left
interesting
of it.
Interesting Mane getting a number 10,
wasn't it? It's getting great.
Did he get a new contract?
Yeah.
Who?
Mane.
Yeah, 4-year contract.
What?
Yeah.
I missed this.
Yeah. Did you?
I've seen him getting the number 10 jersey. So we got a new contract as well.
Yeah. Yep. Well, he hasn't signed it yet. Has it there? Just there. Yeah, I'm going to sign it in a minute.
That's why he wasn't smiling on the
treadmill.
I mean, there's something
like,
you know this crap going on.
Did you sign it? Yeah, I signed it. You know when in pre-season when you used to play for your clubs, you sign that form? Yeah, I'm just going to have a shower force and I'll sign it now in a second. It's on the bonnet. The pen's in the car. I have a pen here. It's a pen's in there. You have to sign it with your own pen.
See, shows the level you are playing, I feel.
Well, you know just, the thing that's going around about Cardius, yeah? That was it. Going around about Cardius.
No, we'll come back to that. Anyway, the question I have is,
who the fuck is that guy?
All I'm asking is simple as this: who do you want to see gone most? Out of a group of lads that are being
leave. Oh, Reggie.
You want
to know what? If you had a set to me between Sturridge and Origi, one of them's going to come back with a dog shit attitude and one of them's going to come back with a rocket in the ass. You would have reversed roles and said Sturridge in the last year of his contract's going to piss him out.
Yeah,
like you said, he's like a different animal. Origi.
Origi is reverted back to, remember when we loaned him back out to, who did we put him off? Originally, and we left him out there for a year and he got voted in the worst 11. Origi,
when we
signed him and we lent him back to Lille for a season. And in that season, he was voted by French fans as the worst striker.
Can I suggest a different way? So we've made loads of money over the years, right? And we're in positive net spend territory, right? Question I have for you is, could we just for this summer do Melwood Island where we get to watch it right, on a highlights package and we get to decide who goes first, right?
That is a quality idea.
Yeah
that is a really good idea.
We get to see them train every day and then we decide who's putting the effort in, who isn't putting the effort in. You get Klopp coming into a diary room saying, yeah, can I fucking stand your man? He's
breaking
wrecking
his
head.
Yeah.
And then we get like Markovic on a guitar and things like this. Just the
That's a good one, Phil.
Isn't it? Yeah? It speaks volumes of how bad Origi has been, is that like any other year I would have said, Markovic is still fucking here. I'd rather us kept... I'd sooner keep Markovic than Origi.
But it's not who you want to get rid of. Who's going to take some of them?
Nah, they'll always find somebody.
Who's going to take Markovic?
Pezzy United.
See, I would have kept Markovic back. In Melwood Island, I'd keep Markovic back as one of these lads who comes in halfway through. Nobody knows he's coming. And all of a sudden, he just peers in with his T-shirt on, rocking in the summer look and the whole pair of flip-flops.
I've never seen Love Island.
Neither way, I'm just making this up.
Have you seen
Markovic? I like the idea. Try winning a couple of Bush Tucker trials and they can say, I'm a footballer, get me out of here. That means they're gone then. Like writing off your contract.
Yeah. Brilliant. I'm a footballer, get me out of here. And what you have is you have all your teams coming. Now we'd like to take Divo because we believe we can give him a good home. Right?
It's like a fucking lost animal trick. Put them all in cages and so you can walk along. I don't want him.
They are in America.
Just put them all on the station.
Just off the main stage behind the curtains and
the
club owners are there giving their sob story, the backstory as to why they need a striker.
This one has the main, we'll take him. Yes, please keep walking.
And then at the end of each week, you have your Pete, the fellow off LFC TV, comes in and he stand around in a circle.
They do a live utilisation of whoever's left. We're just putting him to sleep.
Next
week,
I'm sad to tell you, but you pick out all the names and say, "You'll be joining us again next week." Whereas you, Divock, you are free to leave.
It's like
they have a black plastic bag and a taxi fare. Here you go,
Divock Origi. It might be you.
Not Amazon to tell you you can adopt.
Day 143 in the big Melwood household. Divock still can't figure out how to put his boots on.
Not Amazon to tell you you can adopt a donkey.
Yeah,
that's how we could get a few quid, couldn't we? Adopt the Divock.
What?
Adopted.
You know where the donkey with the big hooves that no one has minded and it's out in the field that's covered in shit. None of them ones. Would you like to adopt a donkey?
This week, Loris Carius has lost his safety from eviction.
Poor Loris.
To save Markovic, press one. You can text us on 5-7.
Who goes, you decide.
Yeah. We send
brilliant,
the votes.
Brilliant.
And then whoever gets knocked out, right, we can then get the outrage on social media saying that you never walk alone. Like, there's no abuse going on anywhere. Just, you never walk. I've seen terrible abuse, that the imaginary abuse that's going on. All I've seen is people telling me that there's abuse going on all over the shop. I've seen worse abuse being shown at loads of Liverpool players over the years, so I'm lost. Anyway, Loris Carius, Neil is going after the Jacks, so let's have a chat about Carius while he's gone, because he was dying to talk about
shit. That's the
day, son. Get out. Anyway, moving along to the Carius conundrum, right? Sean, you're quite vocal on Twitter there about your support for Loris.
Yeah, it's not support. Twitter is full of dickheads, to be honest with you, and it's a massive echo chamber, especially Liverpool. Mm. It's just the echo chamber of people who think that the owners are shit, people who are inventing terms for statistics. Fucking, it's full of all sorts, especially, and it's because we're in the echo chamber. 80% of my who I'd follow on Twitter is Liverpool fans. Mm-hmm. And you go in and you see some of the shit aimed at Carius, and it's like, It's completely uncalled for. Like, you even said it in the group the other day. He made the first mistake in the friendly the other day, and the hyperbole was fucking crazy. Like, it wasn't even that bad. People were going, man, now in fairness, in the Champions League final, emotions were high. We all said, look, he has to be ruthless. At the end of the day, the fella's human. He makes mistakes. But one thing people seem to be forgetting, and this is actually what an Arsenal fan said to me, what Liverpool fans haven't taken into account is that Loris Carius costs €4 million. Pounds, sorry. We got a £4 million goalkeeper.
€6 million on him.
Yeah. We got a £4 million goalkeeper. Mm. That's what he is. Like, the hauling abuse at him isn't gonna change. And I understand, like, I could put Marouane Fellaini as me avatar and call myself Fellaini esque or something and rip United players on a daily basis. It doesn't mean I'm the voice of United fans. Mm. But I seen it firsthand. I was at the Sevilla game in Anfield at the Champions League, and Carius was getting pelters, and he wasn't doing a whole lot wrong.
Look, I think James Pearce
starting different though.
Oh, no, James Pearce tonight is saying that Carius wants Klopp wants to keep Carius as his number two, right, and wants him as the backup to Alisson, because let's be honest about it, he's under contract. We have there's no need for Klopp to sell him. Mm. Sean's point is well made. He's a £4 million goalkeeper, right?
Yeah.
I'm sure there's a market for him in Germany, but he's going to play in the
Carling Cup.
The Carling Cup. He's going to play in the FA Cup. Two pointless trophies that we've no interest in, right? But he won't play in the Champions League and he won't play in the league.
Okay, so that's you looking at it from a club point of view. If what we're talking about here is how bad all this is affecting Carius, on a personal point of view for him, I think he needs to be playing ball somewhere regularly rather than sitting on the bench watching us fucking
sucking
Alisson's cock because he's deadly. And
not even
meanwhile,
that.
He's just sitting on the bench for 70% of the games and only getting a run every couple of weeks. I don't know how that helps him.
So would you keep Mignolet then, who's sitting there in 100 grand a week doing nothing?
No.
Well, like, finance basis.
Okay.
I think Mignolet is a better backup keeper than Carius.
I would agree with you.
Yeah.
I think Mignolet is a
perfect backup
is
keeper.
An acceptable level number two. That's all he is.
Oh, come on. Like, lads, I think we're just fuzzing our memory a little bit on how bad Mignolet was.
Okay.
I've never seen Mignolet make... The thing is, with right, Karius was exceptional second half of the season. I don't look into statistics, but from what our guy that Phil was saying, he was a top four quality keeper. He had two massive gaffes in the biggest game of his career. It's Gav Doyle said it. It's not about ability anymore. His head is gone. There's so many variables to the whole Karius thing, him getting lashed over. There's so many ways it could have been handled differently. He was hung by the club by a false concussion statement. That's just my opinion. And then he would have given himself a chance, but he's gone putting these videos on Twitter and all on his holiday and all. And look, he's entitled to do that. The chap's human at the end of the day, and he's on his holidays. But that's just giving people a bigger stick to beat you with as soon as you fuck up.
No, you need if you do that, right, you need to back up your bravado with performance.
Exactly.
And when your first performance is the Tranmere performance, exactly, in pre-season, right, you've destroyed any chance you have of getting over that mistake that you've made in the Champions League final. And when you follow that up again with the game, the first time we've played decent opposition in pre-season, and forget the first one, right? It was amazing, though. After the first mistake, it's not even a mistake, it's just a bad clearance, right? Nothing comes of it, right? He actually does really well to be out where he was to win the ball in the first instance. He was miles outside his box, sweeps up well, it's just a bad clearance after that, right? The goal, the third goal we give away, that's a bad mistake. Right? I know David Priest, and I respect his opinion on goalkeeper, etc., but he's wrong there. He has to do better.
I have an opinion on the whole situation. Now there's people saying Klopp has a duty of care and all that. At the end of the day, right, he had a contract, he signed it, he's a professional, he's not fulfilling it, so just go. Simple, just get rid of him. What's this shit? We have to blind them and
hold
back
enough. Some of the crap on Ryan Neal, I was
turn off
mental.
Your phone, exactly,
that'd be talking of my thinking on it. You can't be 1 week putting out a video of you, a professional video that looks like an advert for a Hugo Boss model,
Baywatch,
right? And
Baywatch,
then second week then giving out about a lashback on social media over a big performance. The game demands that you'll get the praise when you play well and you'll get shit when you play bad. That's football
the
world over. If you don't like it on social media, it's going to happen on the back page of the paper. It's going to get you. It's not without claim. Any of the shit being thrown on him, it's not, you were shit and he wasn't. He pulled off blinders. He was shit and he got called out for being shit. He made a fuck up and he got called out for being fuck ups. It's tough, but that's the game. And if it's a social media that's getting to him, get off it. Get off the fucking thing.
It's
the same. If there's something like you don't want, it doesn't affect you. What you don't know doesn't hurt you.
It's the mix of Air fans being totally unforgiving and him just not being good enough.
Well, I must have missed it.
I'm Troy beyond the fence, right? He was good to watch him. Like, I was saying, do you know what, I felt sorry for him, but then I read today, and I know it's an article, and you need to look into these articles because things are said in context, but he said that the club didn't run the purchase of Alisson by him. Well, like, listen, they're not obligated to, Chief.
No.
If they turn around and say, look, listen, he's coming in, you book up. If you don't like it, go. Get on to your agent and tell him you want to move. Now, that seems happened in the last couple of days.
Sean, I'm sorry.
We don't have to run up by him, Phil. That was something, Alisson.
Ultimately, Sean, if Jurgen Klopp says that Loris Karius is my number two, right? Loris Karius gets no say in that until he reaches the final year of his contract and the club want to redeem value of that, right? It's up to him to put his head down and do the amazing and try to dislodge Alisson. And if Alisson gets injured, he gets in and he proves his worth so that he turns around and says, actually, I am the amazing goalkeeper that you said I am, and I'm not giving up this jersey, right?
Okay.
The thing is, Neil, and this is where the Mignolet argument falls down, and this is where, about the Mignolet for number two, is Klopp has already written Mignolet off. He wrote him off last February, right? He said, no, that's it, I'm done with him. He's never going to be my number one, right? Somewhere in the back of his mind, Klopp still thinks that Karius has all the tools needed to be a top-level goalkeeper, right? He hasn't given up on him yet because he's not prepared to sell him, okay? So if that's the case, then we're better off having him as number two than Mignolet as number two. And the only other option out of that is you sell them all and you have to go back into the market again. We've got until August the 9th to sign another player. After that, the window's closed and you can't sign anyone.
Yeah.
Do you create a new headache or do you say to the player, you're under contract, you're going nowhere, deal with it?
Apart from his ability and all that, what got to me was the
how should I put the discourse in the fan in the in with our fans, they were saying Shani mentioned context there. They're saying, "Oh God, love, we have to mind." And other people are saying, "Fuck him," and all that. The context of it is, he's a footballer and he made a few mistakes. The reality of it is, there's homeless people out there. They're the people. That's who we should be worried about, not about some footballer.
Yeah, and to be fair, to be fair, get over it. No, but to be fair, the Liverpool fans.
And he's got to get another club and get another job. It's no big deal.
Liverpool fans have tended to be very socially aware when it comes to stuff that's going on around the club and in the greater world. Yeah, like look at the food banks and all the stuff that goes on around downfield.
That hypocrites when it comes to it, Phil.
Because like, look, this is going out. I'm telling you now, Alisson is going to make mistakes next year.
I know.
And if they get on that back, Grana's back, we're fucked. Every player makes mistakes. Every single player makes mistakes. The thing is, Phil, you know yourself being a goalkeeper. You can be a striker and have a mare for 90 minutes. I mean, every touch, bubble up, bang, 90 minutes, you score a winner. You could be a goalkeeper, have the game of your life, and drop a clanger in the last minute.
Come here, then you're public enemy number one. Scrabble out today, the Liverpool fan base do, the way he played the game.
But they wouldn't. They wouldn't be able to deal
exactly
with it.
Point,
there are still fans from the 80s.
And it annoys Klopp more than anyone.
Who still have this idea that Robler was a dodgy keeper. He wasn't. You don't win European Cups, you don't win the amount of league titles you do, and you don't retain your position in the Liverpool in that Liverpool team. We're talking about a Liverpool team that spanned the 80s and was all conquering across Europe and England, right?
Yep.
Was the benchmark for teams to set themselves again by being a dodgy keeper. He was eccentric. He came for absolutely everything when goalkeepers didn't come for anything, right? But the one thing he did was, and this is where Karius hasn't done it, right? He was brilliant. I've said it on many occasions here, Neil, we've been waiting and we waited and we waited for the Karius game, the Karius moments, those moments that elevate him from just being a good goalkeeper to the goalkeeper that you rely on when it comes to the big matches. The same goes for Alisson. He comes in with a £67 million price tag. He needs to stamp his authority on that position immediately, because the lens is going to be on him greater than it's been on any other Liverpool goalkeeper since David James signed, and James nearly flopped.
Yeah, but don't doubt yourself. If you do make a mistake, come the next time.
No, but you see what I'm saying? That's exactly what I'm saying.
No, well, you can go again, Phil.
Yeah.
The lens is going to be on him more than any goalkeeper in history of the game.
Oh, yeah.
Because his price tag.
Yeah.
You look at Pogba when he moved to United. Like, Sky made it. Like, the thing is with Pogba, he's massively marketable. So, Sky loved it. They milked him. I remember the first game, Southampton. I remember watching it.
Can you milk a cat, Greg?
So that. Alisson is going to be the same. The spotlight is going to be on him massively. But to be honest with you, he strikes me as the type of bloke who thinks, I really couldn't give a fuck.
Some pressure.
Okay, lads, I want to move it on again and again and again and again. But two things I want to talk about. One, the return of Daniel Sturridge as we head into the Manchester City friendly tomorrow night. And two, the emergence of Naby Keita into the love triangle of all Liverpool fans' heads. Right, because it's all in there, they all see an eye. But as it is, right, we're looking at Naby Keita being the resurrection of every great midfielder in one player of all time. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Ray, is it true that you have a pair of Naby Keita pants on already?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I already bought a Keita t-shirt. He hadn't even played for us and I bought a Keita t-shirt.
You get tighter every time Keita watches Keita
play. Went straight on Love Follow Conquer and seen a Naby Keita t-shirt bought before he even came over. He was still in Guinea before he came over.
It was in Sega Diallo was telling you the story.
Guinea.
Yeah. TT Camara.
That's
country.
Never heard about it. West Africa, is it?
It is actually.
Dr. Congo?
No.
Okay.
Dr. Congo.
Milo.
Yes.
Keita. Yeah, your really impressions.
Good. I didn't see the match, Phil. Sorry about that.
Okay.
I was going to try and make up a string of bullshit there.
Shani.
I don't want to get carried away, but he's by far the best player I've ever seen in my life. Now he looks quality. He looks quality. Pre-season, it's all about fitness and all that. But you ever get when you just see someone and they're like, you can just tell that they're a level above.
Yeah.
Everything he does, he's silk on the ball. He flies into challenges. he's going to be quality. And you can see now, like, Fabinho is quietly going about his business in pre-season, and you can see where his qualities lie. Like, you can see the difference he's making to the team isn't as visible as what Keita is doing, because Keita is getting on it and pulling strings and all, but he looks like he was. And even Klopp said he's come from a Leipzig side who press on a high intensity like us, and he fits like a glove. Like, I can't wait to see him going competitively.
Yeah,
I can't wait to see him now, either.
Lads.
His link up play and with the front has been deadly.
He's fundamental in the resurrection of Daniel Sturridge.
Exactly. He's like, he's
fundamental in the resurrection of Daniel Sturridge when he's waving at him and Sturridge is on the bench.
This is my friend.
Scar and do the Sturridge dance, and that'll be.
Navi, how's your first week in Liverpool? Yeah, it's great. What do you think of Daniel? Yeah, he's going on loan to Wolves. Sorry, Jürgen, he's not.
Yeah.
He's why? He's my friend now, right. He stays.
The resurrection of Daniel Sturridge. Are we going that far?
What?
The resurrection of Daniel Sturridge.
Yep.
Really? Yep. You don't want to overstate it?
Nope.
Or is that an overstatement? No?
Nope.
Is he going to play number 10?
Nope.
Is he capable of it?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
There you go.
Answer to all of those questions was yes. It's just Phil being Phil.
It's not Phil being Phil. I'll tell you what, right? We haven't had a number 9 since
Bobby Firmino.
John Aldridge.
But the thing, Sturridge is still going to, he even admits himself, he wants to play off the shoulder of the last defender. The one thing that Keita is brilliant at, from what I've seen, both in the Bundesliga and even in pre-season so far, and what he's been able to transform immediately into the Reds jersey, right?
That's what good players do.
Is that true, Paul? The ball, and it's the weighted pass. It means that Sturridge doesn't need 15, 20 yards of pace. He's playing on the shoulder. Sturridge is brilliant at anticipating the ball and staying onside and just making a little movement that gets him a half a yard.
And bang. That's,
and then it's an early shot.
Safe to say, I said it then, I know it is cliched now, but still, if you were picking someone one-on-one with a goalkeeper going through, I'd still probably put Sturridge up there ahead of anyone else on the team. I still think he's more clinical than anyone else we've got.
Did we
in the
not
team?
Just say that what we're missing is possibly a number 10? So, but Keita has that covered nearly, hasn't he?
Yeah,
because he can do that. He's more,
I think you said it. Before he came over, and other people read, and I hadn't seen the Bundesliga enough to pass comment on it. But like, I'm to seeing, and there's glimpses of everything people have said, that he does tackle and run around like Mascherano. He has a true ball. He has skill. He's doing step overs and all out in the wing, going by fucking fullbacks. He looks a full package.
The thing is,
I know it's a pre-season friendly, but people have been saying this is what he was doing in the Bundesliga as well. So.
Yeah, Neil, you said he can play as a 10.
He has
does.
The qualities of
no,
a 10.
No, he definitely does, but I think if you're going to play him solely as a 10, you're clipping his wings. I think he's so much more to his game than just being a number 10.
I agree. He is not. The problem is, he's the type of player we're not used to. He's everything.
Yeah.
He's everything. He's your hard tackling midfielder. He's your link man. He's the player with vision at the top end of the pitch, and he can score goals. We haven't seen it yet, but he can score long range goals. He is your Steven Gerrard with a slightly more tactical head, and people won't like me saying that.
No,
but
he is.
But he has a little bit more.
You know, he had the Ojo shot there, and he even went in to head it. And it's just, you know, he seems to, he has that aggression that he was willing to put his head
the
in.
The game is at his pace. It's like the game is at his pace. It's like the ball is always on the. It's
a big shout there, Phil. Steven Gerrard.
Yeah,
is he that good?
He invented football, Keita.
He's the greatest footballer of every pre-season ever. He's even better than pre-season Grujic.
Well, we've yet to see pre-season Grujic, but as soon as we do, remember his header from 35 yards.
Great feet for a big lad. Yeah,
great feet for a big lad. And we've never seen a player as tall as Grujic. Never.
No.
Not even the NBA has seen a player as tall as Grujic.
And his highlight is still his face when Henderson scored against Chelsea.
Yeah. But
brilliant.
But back to Keita.
He's gorgeous.
I asked a question. Not bad looking. And it was a loaded question. Keita is the key to the resurrection of Daniel Sturridge. And Daniel Sturridge's future at Liverpool has rested on that player to find the pass again that allows Sturridge to be Sturridge. Sturridge hasn't been Sturridge since outside the injuries. But when he's been on the pitch, he hasn't looked it, because nobody outside of Suarez and potentially Gerrard has had that ability to play that 5 to 7 yard true ball from about 30 yards deep to the edge of the box. It's always over here.
And the other one this season, we might play with two up front as well. So then you need to
give Dan a switch.
Yeah.
I mean, seeing at the World Cup, and people are wondering Why did he get the number 10? Mane is a serious footballer as well. He's not just pace and power and skip passing and goals. He was playing deep for Senegal at the World Cup, pulling the strings together. So it's mad the weapons that we have now. And look, this is the best Liverpool side of my lifetime.
Maybe the step up in the rest of the squad will sort of negate the drop down in Sturridge, if you know what I mean. How good the rest of them are will sort of nullify his dropping pace, his dropping.
So yeah. Looking at the City match, is there potential for shit to be lost everywhere? If one, we get battered, or two, we bash them.
Of course, because we're fucking fans, and that's what happens when you win in a friendly. It's we're going to win everything. You lose that, it's only a friendly.
Yeah.
You just talk geek, don't you? I don't like losing any game friendly or fucking that.
Yes and no. I remember the tournament against Bayern Munich and Atletico Madrid last season. And when we hockeyed them, it was like, wow, this team has something special about it. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
But the thing is, then we went on to do that to many teams then in the league and in the Champions League after that. There would be, there'd be meltdowns if we were bashed, and then there'd be overreactions if we won. But at the end of the day, it's just pre-season.
Most people are feeling this. Nick Atron is saying they're best LFC squad since 88. Grizzly, Grizz is on. Grizz, how are you, Grizz? Good to see you, fella. Grizz, will you just tell everyone that's reading the chat there, haven't you promised to deactivate if we don't sign Fekir? I just want to put that out there. And the best thing is that I have his passwords. I have access to Grizz's account.
Jesus, Grizz, what did you do?
Anyway,
he took a great point. We nearly have as many weapons on the pitch as we do on the fan base. Yeah.
What a gang of games,
lads! The City game. What do we want to see? Because I don't think Salah and Mane ready for this.
Klopp had said that the United game be the first sniff back into the team. So. I think he'll do the same again, so I wouldn't hold my breath on getting a result, because he's going to prick around with the team, two different teams, both halves, I'd say.
But will City not do the same?
Possibly, yeah.
City lost
their second team is fucking God knows what. I couldn't even tell you about
that. They've the same issue as United, as Spurs, as the rest of them have.
All away.
They've all been away in international.
Right, well, fuck it, we're going to hammer them.
Yeah.
Fuck them.
I'm not going to be honest and say, I probably won't watch the game, because it's on late. I just hope Karius doesn't do fucking something stupid again.
I'm sick of listening to this.
Yeah, because I'm tired of listening to it.
Stop abusing him, you'll never walk alone, and then the stuff he's showing, get rid of him, get out of the club.
Wait until Dublin, Napoli.
Yeah.
Then when Alisson makes a mistake, you can all blame him. He's lunatics.
Neil, are you looking forward to the game?
I probably will watch it this time,
yeah.
But I don't put too much stock in it, because they could be doing 4 or 5 sessions a day in 30, 40 degrees of heat, sure.
Yeah,
who knows what stage City are at, Liverpool are at.
I think the interesting bit would be what the Napoli performance
was. And we said before, bad pre-season, good season. Good pre-season, bad season.
Well, we had a good pre-season last season, and we had a great season.
Yeah, that's true, because that theory was absolute wank as I tore it down. There you go.
I have to agree. Normally we would have said it, but the issue is that Klopp has completely changed everything.
And his own opinion on big transfers too.
Yeah. Well, look, a lot of people are going to disappear off because Jurgen Klopp has just started his press conference tomorrow. And you have to get to Lewis there. All right. Back again.
Training. I missed my training last week. I was in that training. I think they're home at half fucking 12.
But look, I just want to wrap up. What's your predictions for the match against City?
16-5.
Yeah.
Grant.
Razor.
4-2.
Grant.
To who?
Nil off.
Nil off. And the last thing I'd say is, will we sign anyone by this time next week?
No.
Ray?
No.
Ramos.
Yeah. Ramos. And who will we sell? Sean?
All of them. All the list.
Yeah.
Okay. That list. Now, I reckon Origi probably be gone by this time next week.
Okay.
Hopefully.
Donkey sanction.
I don't. Well, we'll see. This week on Melwood, brother.
Mane as well is still in the balance.
Mane.
I'll be wondering why they didn't announce the contract the same time as the number change.
Told you, he's just going to have a shower for us and then he's going to come in and sign it. Like, but you had said, to find
I'll
his
be
pen.
Back for me pen. Well, where's Mane? Yeah. He's actually standing beside Florentino Perez on the telly there.
In the middle of the Bernabeu.
What's he doing on Real Madrid
TV?
That's
not a poor bulky.
I'd take a swap for Ramos.
Right, who do we sell by the end of next week?
Oh, I don't know. Just there'll be a few off the list, can't Phil, I'd say.
Yep.
Origi seems to be top of the list. I don't know whether just because people are
underly
impressed. But
there's a good point made. Mignolet is still getting pelters all over the shop when there's talk about him staying on, right? Yeah, he doesn't seem to get the same treatment as Karius. Now, when it comes to the love, the don't be abusing him and don't be getting at him, right?
Mignolet didn't throw the Champions League final away.
No, but he threw a lot. Every other final
he's
he played
prick,
away.
He's a prick, isn't he? Remember, it was a City in the League Cup final, wasn't it?
When
post?
It went through his body.
Scumbag.
Anyway.
Scumbag. I knew he was going to do it. I fucking knew it.
I knew I'd get him going.
I think the hay for Miggs would have went up tenfold had he done a fucking
I hate Karius
a magnum advert in fucking the
magnum
Hollywood Hills.
Do you reckon? Well, then have you never seen his coffee advert? Because he owns a coffee company in Belgium.
What's it called? Slippy.
Sounds
Slippy's
so sorry, Mingley. I'm not a bit surprised. Slippy owns a coffee company.
Yeah.
And I can picture him with his pinky out drinking
and it's
in
not,
the ad.
It's not that water that Gerard sells all the time. See the way
Angel Revive.
Yeah, you see Rangers are now drinking it.
What?
No, did you not see it?
Bookfast.
They got rid of the Bookfast sponsorship and they brought in Angel Revive. Yeah. Now, one of them.
Classic case of being badly advised, isn't it, in Steven Gerrard? Stevie's washing money for some gangster in Liverpool. Stevie, if you any cash there, yeah, what can we do? We'll sell bottled water. Who does he think he is? Fucking 50 cent? Angel Revive. So come off it, for fuck's sake.
It's all about coinage. It's all about coinage, Sean. It's all about coinage.
The coinage.
It's all about the best.
Right, lads. Right, where are we go? Okay, so that's been the Tuesday Club. It's been in associate with Redsbet. That has been Alison Becker. That has been Ray Brady. That is, of course, Glasses Man. And I have been Phil Casey. So, look, thanks for joining us. The Fatback 4 will be back at the weekend. And also, who else? Oh yeah, the Warden Street pod will be out when we sign Fekir this week.
Never.
Yep. And Grizz gets to keep doing it. So look, thanks for watching, and we'll see you all here this time next week. Same bad tune, same bad channel. Good night, God bless. May your ghost ride with you.